To the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney. Bob is currently in an undisclosed location trying to do an interview, attempting to do an interview with Orly Tates, the lead investigator on America's first Kenyan president. And the signals have been scrambled. I know she's in an airport and the sound quality has been horrible. But I believe the interview will come off here in just a moment. I'm getting signals, perhaps. Anyway, if the interview happens, Bob will be right here with Orly Tates. And after that, we want to talk about a public school horror story right here in Aurora, Colorado. We want to talk about the Rush Limbaugh lynching and the six-year-old boy who was floating over Denver at last report. Anyway, we'll get to all that. Let's go to Bob and Orly Tates.
The biggest non-story story in the country continues to grow. Remember, as published on Fox News a while back by Tommy DeSeno, the certificate put on the internet by Barack Obama and held up by the media was created in 2007. In the lower left corner of the form, there is a reference to a Hawaiian statute that was revised in November of 2001. It's the Barack Obama eligibility story, the biggest non-story story in the country. And by the way, it continues to grow. And Fox News points out you can see bleeding through from the back the date stamp from 2007 when the document was created. Major birthers, as we're called, are Alan Keyes, Joseph Farah, Lou Dobbs, Chuck Norris, and, of course, Philip Berg and Orly Tates. Here in Denver, KHOW Radio's Peter Boyles gets the credit, really, for working the story. And here at Bob and Yart Live, well, we've got a much more powerful signal, 10 times the 5,000 watts of KHOW Radio. With our 50,000 watts, the most powerful Christian radio station in the country, reaching into seven neighboring states and covering much of Colorado. But we've interviewed Alan Keyes, who's been a plaintiff, and Joseph Farah, and ace reporter Bob Unruh. But some of the late developments, Obama's official selective service document provided by a government agency appears to have been doctored, and billboards going up around the country, the Vegas Strip, Mandalay Bay, and the latest in Florida, where's the birth certificate? That's all they say. But the big story now, while we're waiting for a ruling from a federal judge in California, David Carter, where parties are seeking release of Barack Obama's official birth records. In a development today, a federal judge in Georgia has slapped a $20,000 fine on lead attorney Orly Tates. This is a stunning development. Orly, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Orly, could you tell us, I've read a bit of the judge's ruling as reported through the media. He's hit you with a $20,000 fine that seems to be sending a message that that federal judge doesn't want to have to deal with challenges to Obama's eligibility.
Yes. Well, that's a very clear message, and that's a desire to intimidate and threaten me or any other attorney who dares to challenge the legitimacy of this dictator, Barack Hussein Obama. It's actually laughable that what he did, not only he issued this sanction, which of course I will be appealing, of $20,000 to try to intimidate me, and I can tell you right away, I am not intimidated. This is appalling. This is despicable. I do have supporters that are raising money. I am doing this case pro bono, and a number of supporters, and also work my daily.
Orly, let me give out your website just in case someone would like to help you financially.
That would be great.
OrlyTatesEsquire.com. Actually, it's OrlyTatesEsquire.com. Of course, you could just Google Orly Tates. Orly is a lead attorney on this battle to find some basic records. Barack Obama, they have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. They've sent representatives to courts around the country to try to quash any effort to simply see official birth certificate documents. Orly, could you tell us about what led to the $20,000 fine, and then where are we in the California case in front of Judge David Carter?
Okay, let me start with an easier question. In California, we're in good shape because Judge Carter has issued an order October the 15th for the trial, our final day, and the trial is October the 26th, 8:30 a.m., Middle District of California, Santa Ana Division, 411 West 4th Street, Ronald Reagan Federal Building, Judge Carter. We are going to trial. I am representing 46 members of U.S. military. Many of them are high-ranked officers. Part of them are active, part active reserves. Some are retired, subject to recall. I'm also representing state representatives and state senator, saying we need to know if this man is legitimate, if any executive orders coming from him are lawful orders. So that I feel that to even get to the point where we've got a trial date set, it's in January, it's in 3 months, and believe me, it was not easy. I went through a lot of courts. I seen a lot of corrupt judges. And talking about corrupt judges, let's go to Georgia.
Yeah.
But if you read this order by Judge Land, 99% of what he has written is misstating the truth, misrepresenting each and every word that I've written in my pleadings, in complaints.
Orly, it's a 43-page order against you, culminating in a $20,000 fine. Let me share just one part of the ruling with the audience. This Georgia federal judge, Clay Land, writes about Obama. He says, for example, if Obama looked too young, you know, the Constitution requires you to be 35 to be the president. He said, if he looks too young, if President Obama refused to admit publicly that he's older than the constitutional minimum age of 35, should Ms. Tate be allowed to file a lawsuit and have a court order him to produce his birth certificate? Of course you should. Of course, his simple qualifications. And if someone has the gall to say, I'm not going to give you the decency of showing you that I qualify, then of course you should have that opportunity.
Absolutely. But more than that, I have presented to this judge an affidavit from a licensed federal investigator showing that there are 39 different Social Security numbers for Barack Hussein Obama in national databases. And what is even more concerning and more appalling, that the Social Security number that he used for most of his life is the Social Security number of an individual who was born in 1890. Somebody who lived in the state of Connecticut.
Connecticut. Orly, I've looked at the list of Social Security numbers and the addresses that they were associated with around the country, and quite a few of them are associated with actual addresses that Barack Obama lived at. Others, where it's not known exactly where he lived, are associated with addresses where he went to school. And so it is bizarre that Barack Obama would have used so many Social Security numbers.
Exactly. And that's an indication. At the very minimum, it's sufficient evidence to start the discovery. And for Judge Land to say that after I presented to him a list of 140 addresses linked to 39 different Social Security numbers, one of them being the Social Security of a deceased, that after I presented a statement from a lead forensic expert in the country showing that there are signs of forgery in his certification of life birth, that it cannot be considered genuine. And after all that, he is saying that my actions are frivolous under Rule 11, that I didn't do minimal investigation. That's not minimal investigation.
Of course.
Maximum over maximum. Nobody did that much investigation. Nobody dared to investigate that much and bring all of this to court. People were just in shock and scared. So for him to say that I should be sanctioned $20,000 because I didn't do enough investigation, it's laughable, it's appalling. It just shows that we don't live in constitutional republic, we live in a tyranny. That's a tyranny.
Orly,
that's a dictatorial regime.
Orly Tate's lead attorney in the lawsuits trying to determine Barack Obama's eligibility. Orly, I know you just got off of an airplane, but have you had the time to read the judge's 43-page order against you?
Absolutely. I read it on the plane twice. As I stepped off the plane, I was just planning to call you, and I got a phone call from Fox Radio, and I've given an interview to them. It's going to be on Fox Radio. I was on CNN yesterday. I read this opinion.
Let me ask you this. I'm sure there's nothing in the ruling that would subject you to criminal penalties. Is that right?
No, but, you know, when the judges are so corrupt, when the judges are so dishonest, they can do anything. And, you know, I'm hoping that in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, the judges will not be so corrupt that they will actually read the complaint, the pleading. They will see that there was absolutely nothing frivolous, that I did all of the investigation that I had to do to bring the case. Clearly, far and beyond minimum investigation under Rule 11, if anything, the actions by Judge Land are frivolous. For example, he said that he will take the $20,000 from me and he will give it to this private foundation that alleges to help the military, that he's this Robin Hood taking money from me and he's giving to this foundation. How dare he? He is trying to appease members of the military that are obviously angry that their constitutional rights are taken.
Orly Tates, you had one case where a serviceman who had received orders, and the argument was that Barack Obama appears to be ineligible, so the orders are invalid, and the military canceled that officer's orders to eliminate the dispute.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And actually, that was the first case in front of Judge Land. That's why he's so scared. That's why this regime is so scared, because this was a second case in front of the same judge in the same area next to Fort Benning. And Fort Benning is brewing and ready to explode because of what's been happening.
I've been down to Fort Benning, by the way. My oldest son, Josiah, he graduated from there, went to airborne school and the whole deal. By the way, do you have anybody in the guard that you're representing?
If you want to be a plaintiff, I'd be happy to represent you.
Yes, I now, I'm not in the guard personally, but everybody around me is. So I wish I were.
If they want to join, you know what? We need to show this corrupt and fraudulent regime that we will not be scared by $20,000 sanctions or anything that they make up. You know, I hope that people are rising and that more people go on my website and sign up as plaintiffs. And we should be filing in more states, and hopefully we will file. We will find more judges that are not corrupt. This has to be heard on the merits, and by all accounts, Obama is not legitimate. As a matter of fact, I need to explain, it's not just birth certificate. According to the definition of natural-born citizen, one has to have both parents, U.S. citizens, at time of his birth, in order to be qualified, not only to be born in the country. And we know that Obama's father was never a U.S. citizen. So for that reason alone, Obama is not qualified, period. So we know that already. All we need is a decent judge, a judge who was not intimidated by the regime, who will follow the Constitution and will issue a declaratory relief, act in quo warranto, and issue a statement that he needs to be removed out of office. And by the way, Biden doesn't need to the result of my legal actions, because according to a quo warranto, if Obama was illegitimate, his appointment of Biden was illegitimate too, which means, like in many European countries, we will go to a special election. Just like Georgia had a special election, we will have a national special election where a new president will be elected, and Biden will get to enjoy a position of president only for a month or two until there is a special election.
Hey, let me ask you, Orly, we only have another moment or so. A selective service, there's a document that has surfaced, and have you looked into that document that appears to have been modified?
No, thank you for asking. not only I looked at it, I have presented it to the judges. They have it. They have it as part of evidence.
So could you describe to us that document? Because, of course, if Barack Obama was not a citizen, if he was applying to colleges for discounts as a foreign citizen, he would not have filed with the Selective Service. But then when he was interested in running for president, he'd have to go back and cover his tracks. Exactly. So they'd have to have a late filing. They'd have to come up with a forged Selective Service filing.
Yes. Not only I checked this, but because one of my clients is a major general, he arranged for me to go to the headquarters of the Selective Service in Virginia, and I questioned the national director, and he could not provide any answers.
In other words, you brought the copy that is issued by the government of Obama's Selective Service document, and you showed them how it's clearly forged.
I showed them the evidence. For example, the stamp is not the right stamp that was used at here. That the document number. See, every government document has a certain number assigned to it. It's not a correct number. That the dates are not correct dates because at that time Obama was in school in California. He could not have possibly filed this. And what is even more damning is that it states that this document was obtained without a birth certificate, and it says or passport, and it says right there that you cannot obtain this document, Selective Service document, if you don't show your birth certificate, proof of birth certificate or passport. So it makes it invalid on its face. And
All right. Now, let me ask you one other question. Nancy Pelosi, by custom law, she's one of the government officials who had to validate Barack Obama being nominated for the office of president here in Denver, Colorado. And on the form used to accomplish that, the form itself was altered, and they removed the part of the sentence that says that they have verified his eligibility.
Here's another issue. Now, I have filed my cases before this was uncovered, so this was not part of the complaint. However, that does show guilty minds. That does show some manipulations. Other manipulations, she is completely out to lunch. Just as a curiosity, I have three sons, and all of them have been members of Junior Statesmen of America, and they were assigned to the national conventions. One of my sons was assigned as one of the observers from the Junior Statesmen of America.
All right.
And they spoke to Nancy Pelosi, and the kids, they're high school students, so they're telling her, Secretary Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi,
yeah,
we are members of our Junior Statesmen of America. And she says, oh, yeah, welcome to America. And the kids are looking at her, baffled, and they said, Speaker Pelosi, we are members of the Junior Statesmen of America. And she says, welcome to America, welcome to America. My son came home and said, Mom, this woman is completely out to lunch. I wouldn't be surprised to find out anyway.
That is funny. That's like trying to get the tickets for the Olympics in Atlanta when you live in New Mexico and they say you have to call your own country's embassy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're all victims of our public school education. Orly, one concern in California with Judge David Carter, and it's something we call the KGOV court syndrome, when a judge is nice to one party in a political case, when he knows he's going to rule against that party from the beginning, he's very nice to them. He awards them a lot of motions, victories, and all. I'm a little worried that Judge David Carter is a little too nice.
It's possible, and that's why I'm telling you, we cannot rest. We need to file in more states. We need to file such actions in different states around the country, and particularly in red states where hopefully we will have judges that are not biased and that will rule on the merits. And I want to explain to everybody, Barack Hussein Obama needs to win in each and every legal action. We're in better shape. Why? Because we have to win only one time. if only one time a judge doesn't even need to rule, if he orders a discovery, we're done, because we know he has nothing to show for. So I do need more details.
All right, you need more plaintiffs. And Orly, this is what we'll do to help screen the onslaught of people who want to join and help. If anybody out there is in the military, the Air National Guard, whatever, and you're interested in joining as a plaintiff, please contact us here at kgov.com, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, and we will get your information and forward it to Orly Tates. Orly, thank you so much for joining us. Any last word?
It's very important to me to find plaintiffs that can show injury, for example, or imminent injury. If you are about to be deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, that's an imminent injury. If God forbid you lost a loved one or you were injured, you were wounded in Iraq or Afghanistan after January 20th, you can show injury. If you had a car dealership and it was taken from you in this governmental grab for power, you can show injury if you worked in such an agency. So it's very important to me to find people that can show injury or imminent injury, people that are about to be deployed, because this way it's easier for us to bring those cases to court and have them heard right away.
Also,
I do need donations because it all costs thousands of dollars. And with those corrupt judges trying to intimidate me with sanctions, I do need people donating because I am doing this pro bono.
All right, Orly, and I'll give out that website one last time. And thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The website, OrlyTaitzEsq.com, Orly Tates Esquire. OrlyTaitzEsq.com.
And we're back here at Bob Enyart Live.
Hey, Doug.
And my
interesting, interesting interview with Orly Tates. We're glad that we were able to talk to her.
Yeah, the good news is if the FBI was recording it, they probably won't be able to make much of it out. into any trouble at all, but
The CIA was jamming her cell phone signal.
That story's starting to get fun. I might listen to Peter Boyles tomorrow because I heard she's going to be on.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But I want to talk about what's at the top of KGov.
Top of KGov.
In regards to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And our one of our town's favorite sons, Reggie Rivers.
Reggie Rivers, former NFL player, Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Columnist, sportscaster.
Right.
Forget about making up quotes that Rush Limbaugh said. Reggie Rivers wrote in the Rocky Mountain News. He wrote about killing Christians. The Romans used to kill Christians.
I've heard that, yeah.
And Reggie Rivers wrote, "While I don't agree with the action, I can understand the frustration that compelled the Romans to throw select Christians to the lions." He said the Romans were tired of listening to the self-righteous Christians. And then he said, "Today, regular citizens are getting fed up with puritanical Christians."
And of course, Reggie Rivers was never allowed to work in Denver again. He was run out of town on a rail.
Exactly.
Not. That's not what happened.
Exactly.
In fact,
not.
I think I saw him over the weekend talking about football on a local station.
He did a backhanded apology insulting the hundreds of Christians who call KOA Radio, Rocky Mountain News.
Right.
That's before it went under.
Oh, yeah.
And his apology was an insult. He said, "I didn't realize that so many people are so easily offended and are so woodenly literal."
Oh, yeah.
"Don't they know it was tongue-in-cheek?" Well, when you have this hate-filled diatribe against Christians, it's hard to see that it's tongue-in-cheek.
Didn't sound tongue-in-cheek.
Could you imagine Rush Limbaugh saying the exact thing Reggie Rivers said, only with blacks?
I cannot imagine that.
Could you imagine Rush Limbaugh saying in passing, "While I don't agree with the action, I can understand the frustration that compelled folks to lynch select blacks. The blacks were so problematic, regular citizens are getting fed up with black influence on our culture." I mean, he would have been done, and he should have been done, and Reggie Rivers should have been done.
Yeah.
The KKK.
So Clarence Thomas's prophecy of a high-tech lynching has come true now for Rush.
Rush was married in Clarence Thomas's home. The justice of the peace that married Rush Limbaugh was Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Is he white?
I don't know. No, he's not. Well, I don't notice things like that, but I've heard he's black.
Yeah, I've heard he's black. And a racist would not want a black—he wouldn't seek out a black justice of the peace— especially one who married a white woman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I seem to remember Rush Limbaugh fighting vehemently for Clarence Thomas to be put on the Supreme Court.
Of course, right. So anyway, you know, I don't know about all Rush's quotes. I know that some vicious quotes were made up and put in his mouth.
Yeah, and then quoted by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, who should be sued for libel.
Somebody should be sued for libel or slander, especially with no corrections.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I could.
Out of town on a rant.
I don't know that I could defend everything Rush Limbaugh has said about any subject.
No, not
He's
everything.
Increasingly sexually vulgar, filthy.
Yeah, I've lost interest.
Gross.
Well, your show was the first one. Remember, you used to say he was 97.9% right?
Yeah.
Your show used to document.
We documented the error.
Yeah, the 2.3%.
We advertised on Rush Limbaugh's radio show for about 6 months here
Is
in
that
Denver.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, Doug,
anyway,
that's Rush and Reggie Rivers.
Not a big fan of Rush, but. So, Bob, we don't have time to get into the horror story here at the Aurora Public Schools.
Well, the hazing on the school bus.
Yeah, the soccer team.
Forcing a player to engage in a homosexual act.
Yeah, basically that's what they did.
Hazing. And the adult involved with the school district, the adult monitor, didn't think it was worth reporting for about a week.
Right, about until 5 days later.
Yeah, and then said, I thought it was part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this was a public school.
You know, people think I'm extreme when I say that if you send your kids to public school, you're sinning against God and your children.
Yeah.
They think I'm extreme in saying
this is reason number 347 to take your kids out of the godless public schools.
Amen. I mean, we homeschool our kids, and it's a joy.
Now, the sad, tragic story of the child who ended up a six-year-old boy in an experimental aircraft.
Oh, yeah, he was flying over Denver.
For 2 hours from Fort Collins to Denver International Airport.
I listened to it live on the air. Sean Hannity was covering it live.
This is a tragic story. This child is missing.
But what bothered me about Sean is that as it came in for the soft landing, which was pretty amazing to watch after seeing it at 8,000 feet, Sean said, it's as if the wings of angels are guiding it to the ground.
Doug, that's an example of the Christian superstition.
Yeah.
So now Christians say, God did this. Look at this, a miracle. God is doing it. And then things are so terrible. Mm. Then what? Then your superstition is revealed.
Amen.
Thanks, Doug. Maranatha.